thinking about Abraham. And Paul in Romans exhorts us, chapter 4, to walk in the steps of faith that Abraham walked into. And I was thinking about that. You know, faith is a walk. It's step by step. And we continually learn to listen to the Lord and trust in Him. And as we take steps of faith, we grow in faith. And this is really what glorifies God, because this is how He produces His righteousness in us. As we walk by faith and trust Him, and step by step. And that step of faith, a walk of faith, is we're always facing, you know, challenges. We're facing the flesh, the world, all the things. And in that walk of faith, God is showing us the things of our heart that we cling to. And it's very true for Abraham, and we have his life as a testimony for us. And it says that Abraham, you know, we think of Abraham as he's the father of the faith. You know, we're like his seed. We're sent through Jesus Christ. His seed was Isaac, and we know that was symbolic of Jesus. And in Jesus, it says in Galatians, we are sons of Abraham through faith. So we see Abraham as a man of faith. And Abraham was a friend of God because he learned to live by faith. But Abraham didn't come to the great feats of faith immediately over his life. He grew in faith. That's what the scripture says. It says he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. So it's sometimes when we come to Jesus, you know, he accepts us with just a mustard seed of faith. And there's mountains that are before us. You know, when we came to Jesus, there were things in our life that were like mountains before us, you know. Big sins, huge things. Could have been many things. The lusts in our flesh, the pride of life, the love of the things of this world, all these things. And having to come to Him just with a mustard seed of faith and believing His word, He was faithful to start to move mountains. So this is how Abraham came to God, with a mustard seed of faith. But he grew in his faith. That's what it says. So he had to learn to live in faith day by day. And even when he made mistakes, as we know he did, he had to come to a place where he learned to cling to the Lord again and trust in Him. And whenever he did that, the Lord appeared to him and blessed him and spoke to him, encouraged him. He didn't have a Bible. He just learned to live by faith. He learned to hear the voice of God. You know, it says in the New Testament that those who are born of the Spirit are like that. They hear the sound of the wind. They don't know which direction they're coming or going. Abraham didn't know where he was supposed to come and go, but he just trusted that the Lord would speak to him and lead him. And he could depend upon the Lord. And there was times in his life when the Lord really tested him. And we want to look at that in the scripture, where he had certain fears that were manifesting. This is what I'm finding is when you sense fear coming up in your heart, this is where the Lord is putting his finger to show you. Is this an area where you trust in me with all your heart? Or are you afraid of losing control of your life there? You know, when we read the scriptures, it was the men of God who feared losing control of their life that sinned in their unbelief and put matters in their own hands because they didn't trust God. But when Abraham, he came to the place at times when he doubted certain times, but had to come back to a place where he repented. And this is a walk of faith. And it says that our faith is going to be tested. If you read the New Testament, it says that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So our faith will be tested because God wants it to grow. And for faith to grow, it has to be tested. You know, it's like Peter says, your faith, which is more precious than gold, though being tried by fire. So in order to make an alloy or a metal more pure, it has to be tried by fire. In order for our faith to grow, because there's decisions that we make or there's things that are before us that take a lot of faith to overcome in our life. And in order to have the faith, he wants to cause us to grow in little decisions, step by step. Abraham, it says, he took steps of faith. So in order to come to a place where we have faith for, you know, things like we talk about being martyrs, you know, and being persecuted and having the boldness to not be afraid of enemies, we have to learn to live in the steps of faith continually so that when those big tests come, our faith has grown to a measure and a degree where we're not afraid anymore. And faith is what overcomes fear. You know, when the disciples were in the boat and the waves came against them, they were so terrified because they thought they were going to die. It was a threat to their life. You know, and that's the greatest instinct in the human body is a self-preservation, to save your life. And when that fear comes, you'll cry out. And they cried out, and Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, take courage, oh, you of little faith." You know, he wanted to bring them to that place where they could trust him completely with their lives. Peter and John and James, it wasn't until after Pentecost that they came to that place where they had that confidence and that faith in God. They weren't afraid to die. But you see how Jesus was testing them there, and even in the boat three years earlier when the waves were coming. That's how I mean that it's a step. Step by step, he tests us in those things. He wasn't going to let them drown there. He wasn't going to let Peter, you know, sink in the water when he was taking a step of faith to walk on the water. He was taking a step of faith. He was walking, and then all of a sudden he fell. Well, his faith was very small, but he had more faith than the other brothers. It seemed like he had faith to actually step on the water, you know. And God honors that. You take a step of faith to trust him. Even though you may sink in fear at a point, and you cry out, like Peter did, Jesus lifted him up. But his desire was that they would grow strong in faith. And, you know, Abraham, if we go back to Genesis in chapter 12, we see that Abraham had faith that God was calling him to leave the land that he was in, because we know from the scriptures that there was a land of idolatry. His father lived in that land. And Joshua, you read in the end of Joshua, that his father worshipped idols there. And God had called him to come out, and he was going to take him to a new land. It was this wonderful, scary thing. But he knew he had heard from God. And it was a step of faith in Genesis 12 for him to go out. And God said, "If you do this, I will bless you." So, now this is the definition of faith. Faith is, you believe that God is, and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So Abraham was immediately tested. Is this God speaking to me? To go forth? Is he calling me to take a step of faith? It's just here symbolic of taking a step. What God is asking me to do. You know, it's easy to be comfortable and just stay where you are. That was the test for Abraham. I see this as a big test for me. Having our comforts, you know, we just love to have all our comforts. But when God says, step out of your comforts, that takes faith. Because God wants to use us to glorify his name, but we have to be willing to step out of that and trust him. And God said that he would bless him and make his name great. So God said that he would make his name great if he listened to his voice. You know, that's the exact opposite of what happened just in the previous chapter. We can see there's an interesting thing that happened, is that right before this was the story of the Tower of Babel. You know the story when all the men got together. And you know why they built that tower? Because this is what they said in chapter 11, verse 3. They said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used bricks for stone and they used tar for mortar. And this is what they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city with a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." So why? What was the motivation for them to build something for themselves? One is they wanted to make a name for themselves. They felt there was a desire to do something. You know, they had an ambition in their heart. It was an ambition that was self-rooted for themselves. But there was a fear. This is the other major thing. They were afraid that somehow they would be scattered all amongst the earth and they would lose that unity for themselves, that they would try and build together something for themselves. So this was something that men came up with to do, make a name for themselves, and they were afraid. So you see here clearly that fear, when fear comes into your life, this is the seed of the flesh, where the devil begins to work. He wants you to do something, take a step under your own control to maybe build something that in the end we know God is not going to prosper. He's going to scatter. He's going to destroy it. And you know, at the end of the story, it says that God saw what they were doing and he said, "We need to confuse the language of these people because they're going to try and do something and make themselves some great name. And we're not going to let it happen." So it says, "Therefore the name was called Babel," verse 9, "because the Lord confused the language and he scattered them. So the very fear, you know what the scripture says? That if you seek to save your life, you lose it. So the very fear that they had of being scattered came upon them. You believe that the Lord would allow that? The fears that we have, if we try and save our life and pursue something, I need this, I want this, then God says, no, if you're seeking that, I'm going to bring confusion upon it. And so we see God scattered. The very thing that they didn't want to happen, happened. And, you know, if you read James 3, it says that where there is selfish ambition and bitter jealousy or, you know, evil and pure motives and desires, it says the end of that is confusion and disorder, because it's not wisdom from above, it comes from self. And so in their desires to try and do something apart from God, seeking their own, and in fear, we see that the fruit of that was confusion and destruction. And here is the greatest example in the Old Covenant of how God brought confusion because of their self-preservation and their fears that led them to make this decision. So it's important when we recognize when we get anxious or we get afraid or we begin to doubt and we try to kind of preserve ourselves, control things, we have to recognize that what the scripture teaches on that and recognize the sin. And then after that happened, then God says, I'm going to do something great. I'm going to build something. It's not going to be by the hands of man. It's going to be by the works of God. And that's when he called Abraham, and he took Abraham. You know, in Isaiah 51, it says, when Abraham was one, I called him, and I blessed him, and I multiplied him. When Abraham was one, there was many people in the Tower of Babel that were working together to try and make something. And God said, it's not from my spirit. But when Abraham was just one person, see, God is looking for someone who has a mustard seed of faith. And with one person, he can build his house, his kingdom, with one person who has faith. And so we can't look at numbers, and we can't look at all these things. We have to go by the scriptures and look at what it says, walking in the steps of Abraham. When Abraham heard God, God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. And he said, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Everybody's going to be blessed through you. That's an amazing promise. Can you imagine God saying that to you? I'm going to bless a lot of people through you if you learn to live by faith. That's what God wants to do with the gospel that he's given us, with the kingdom of God. He wants to take that seed of faith in us, cause it to bear fruit, and let others partake of that fruit and then see his vineyard grow, his kingdom grow. So Abraham, he heard the call of God, and he went forth when the Lord had spoken to him. It says, he went forth. That is faith. He obeyed. As the Lord had spoken in verse 4, and it says, Lot went with him. Now here we see that, you know, Lot had a desire to be with Abraham, but it was kind of like he went, but he wasn't sent by God. You see a difference here? It says Lot went. And so we see that Lot was righteous. We know in the New Testament he had a desire for righteousness, but his faith was not where Abraham's faith was. And his faith was tested. Later on, we know there was strife between Abraham and Lot, and Abraham had to separate, and he had to choose, and he went with what he wanted in his heart. And he wanted to have a good place to stay, a nice house for his family, well, you know, watered vineyards and beautiful land. He wanted all these things, and there was some self-desire there, and we see that in his wanting to be with Abraham and wanting to do what's right, he was tested, and in his heart he had these things that the Lord revealed. But Abraham here now went forth because the Lord had spoken to him. He heard from God. So he took Sarah and his wife and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they accumulated in that land, and they went out. And they came to Shechem, verse 6. It says, now the Canaanite was in the land. Now that just seems like one small verse, but that verse has big implications. Because when he saw this land where God was telling him to go, he saw, there's a lot of people in this land that are not my friends. You know, these would be like my enemies. These people own this land, they live in this land. And God's taking me to this land, and he saw with his eyes a big test before him. How am I going to possess this land when all these Canaanites are before me? And this is the mountain that God, you know, sometimes shows us, a mountain. And we say, Lord, how am I going to overcome this? This is what you call me to do. I can't do it. And this is what he did. It says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your seed, descendants, I will give this land. So he saw Canaanites with his eyes, but then he heard something with his ears. And faith comes by hearing the word of God, the word of Christ. So with his eyes, he saw Canaanites, but with his ears, he heard, I'm going to give you the land. This is faith. This is how faith begins. So what did he do? He thought, I can't do it, Lord, without your help. And he began to, first thing he did, he built an altar. That was representing a place of sacrifice. He made a sacrifice. It says he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. God appeared to him to strengthen his faith there. He spoke to him again. Lord, Abram, I told you I was going to give you this land. I'm saying it again. Don't go by what your eyes see. Right? Go by what I see. All the desires, all the wants, all the things that they, Lord, what if it doesn't happen? What if this happens? Or what if that happens? What if I don't get the land? What if I don't get that? And God says, no, I said, I have a promise. Seek first my kingdom, seek first my righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. So he built an altar, place of sacrifice. So then he proceeded from that place. He went to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on his west and Ai on his east. And there he built an altar to the Lord again. Second time. And it says, and called upon the name of the Lord. That, to me, is building an altar is just representing a place where you're calling on the name of God. You're taking up your cross saying, Jesus, I want to be crucified with you. I'm dead to my desires. I'm dead to what I see with my eyes. I'm just believing in your word. And he began to call. And he did it twice. He built an altar once. He built an altar again. And he began to call on his name, saying, Lord, help me. Help me. It seems too great. And as he called on the name of the Lord, then he went forward and he went into his next test. And God had planned this before the foundation of his life, that he was going to have now be tested. And when you start calling on the name of the Lord is going to test whether you really believe when you say, Jesus, save me, you are able. And Abraham journeyed on, continuing towards the Negev, the south country. He went south. So he didn't know whereabouts he was going to go. He felt leading to go south. And as he went south, it says there was a famine in the land. So Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there. He went down even farther to Egypt. He thought, there's a famine, I need food, and so forth. So why did this happen? It would seem as though God was not with him, even though this was happening. A famine just represents a time of need. Right? It's a time of need. When we're hungry and we're thirsty, and it can be spiritually poor in spirit. Needy, thirsting, desiring. When there's a famine, you're desiring hunger. And this now the desire came to preserve himself. He needed to eat. He needed to live. So the famine drove him down to Egypt, and there he came to Egypt. Was God planning this test for Abraham? And he said to his wife, look, see now, I know that you are a beautiful woman, and it will come about that when the Egyptians see you, that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me. But they will let you live. He's already planned out in his mind what's going to happen. You ever done that? You see a problem and you start to role play it out and you speculate and you try and figure out, oh, what if I do this, then this is going to happen. See, this is how Babylon gets built in our minds. We start to control, well, if this, I'm going to get scattered, or if this happens, this is what's going to happen. And this is the enemy robbing faith. That's how the devil does it. I've only had so much time here. And there's a famine in the land, and if they get my wife, they're going to kill her, and this is what will happen. Well, this is called the carnal mind, right? The mind not set on the things above, but on the earthly things. He began to see things very earthly, and he made a decision to kind of tell a half lie, was a lie. She was like a sister, but she was his wife. So he said, say that you're my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, that I may live on account of you. Now here he confesses with his own. He wants to live. He doesn't want to die. God made a promise to him. All these wonderful things, but yet he's fearing he's going to die. This is his first test of faith. Second maybe. First coming out from the land, and second one now, trying to save his life. So it came about that he went down into Egypt, and they saw, just as he said, they saw his wife was a beautiful woman. And it says they praised her, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house, and he, because of it, treated Abraham very well and gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys and female and all these, man, he gave him all these possessions. Well, I kind of liken this like that verse in the New Testament. It says that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love him. Here he was, a wealthy man, but God uses this circumstance to cause him to bless Abraham even more. But I'm sure Abraham wasn't seeing that at this point, because all he could see was that his wife was with another man and that he was in big trouble. But the Lord fought for him because he was a son of God. He was God's child. And the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Isn't that amazing that God would be so concerned watching over Abram that he would just allow such a thing to happen, to put the fear in Pharaoh, protecting him? And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife?" Obviously, the truth came out. And he told her the story, and he explained it all to him. So after all this big test, the Lord, I think, began to reveal to Abraham his unbelief here, to show him that if you really believed in me, why did you have to tell a lie like that? This was a test. So we can see how Abraham, his faith was tested, and it was being stretched because God wanted him to grow in his faith. You know, later on, he was tested again, just like that with the king Abimelech, and yeah, he did it again. Sometimes God will take us through the same tests. He often will. If we he finds we fail, because he wants us to overcome them. He wants us to overcome and trust him and not be afraid. But we see here that after this test happened, Abram, in chapter 13, went to the Negev, and he and his wife and all that belonged to him, Lot with him, and Abram was very rich. He journeyed to the Negev. Where did he go? As far as Bethel. Now, where was Bethel? You remember that place? We read that in chapter 12, verse 8. That was the place where he built an altar. And he called on the name of the Lord. He came back to this place, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord again. He went back to the place and he said, "Lord, this is where I called on you before I went down to Egypt and I messed up. Caused all this problem. Lord," and he called on his name. I believe it was like he was repenting again, calling on him to build his faith and learn to trust God, not to be afraid of losing his life. So we see Abraham was tested, and there he continues on. He fought for Abraham and Lot, and delivered his life in the next chapter. And then God appeared to him again. You know, he saw Abraham had faith to go and rescue. He knew his nephew Lot was in trouble, and he loved him, and he laid his life down for him. He made a sacrifice, and he went and delivered him from these kings. And then it came to the place where God appeared to him and said, "Look, Abraham," chapter 15, verse 1. This is in a vision. He said, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. Don't be afraid." Now he had just destroyed these kings, and I'm sure the fear would have come. You know, you make enemies when you start killing people. And he was killing these enemies and destroying them, and now he was in this place where he had to lean on the Lord again. And God says, "I am your shield. If you trust in me, you don't have to fear anything happening to you. Because if you abide in my will, I will be your shield and I will give you a reward, a great reward." And so this is what Abram said. He said, "Lord, what will you do for me? I don't have a son." So we see the humanness of Abram, that he had wants and desires. He was a married man, but he didn't have a son. And he had a desire to have a son. It was in his heart. This is fine. It's a good desire. But he said, "Lord, all the things you do for me, if I don't have a son, what do I have? I have a Eliezer, you know. And is he going to be my heir?" And then the word of God came to him again. Verse 4, he heard God speak to him again. So the first time he said he would send him out and he would make his descendants great. Now he said, "I'm going to give you a son, and it's not going to be from this Eliezer." He said, "The man," verse 4, the Lord came to him saying, "This man will not be your heir, but the one shall come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir." Where does he want to bring forth his promises? The seed that was going to come from Abraham, spiritually, was Christ. And he said, it's not going to come from someone else from outside. It's going to come from your own body. I'm going to bring forth that seed of Christ from within you. This is where he wants to manifest his glory, is in us, from our members. He wants to plant that seed in us and that bring forth that fruit in our lives. And it takes faith to believe that when you see your body as good as dead. And you know what it says? Abraham's body was as good as dead when he looked at himself and his wife too. And the circumstances everything that he looked at. How is this going to happen? God says it's going to happen right inside your own body. It's going to happen right in there. And he had the child from his own body. And this is a picture spiritually of how the word of God is like a seed when it's planted and we believe in it. Just like when the Lord spoke to Abraham. That seed, when you believe in that word, it produces something in you. It says it causes, you were born again through the word of God, which was planted in you. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, I believe, 1. The seed of God that was planted in us causes us to be born again by believing in that word. It worked something in us. Righteousness. Now, Abraham had to believe this report. He had seen him, his body now so old. God took him outside and he said this, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars and see if you are able to count them." He gave him this heavenly perspective. Look up. He had to look up, spiritually speaking. I want you to set your mind on things above, right? And he showed him the stars. So many stars. And he said, "Can you count these stars?" And then he said to him, "So shall your seed be. So shall your descendants be." You're going to have seed like the stars of the sky. I'm going to do something. I'm going to make a nation through you, through one man of faith. And you know what he did? It says he heard that. With his eyes, he saw his dead body, before, just like he saw a land full of giant Canaanites. But God promised he was going to possess it. He saw all these things with his eyes, but then God said, "Look up, listen to my word." And it says he believed in the Lord. I believe that word is amen. When it's written on, I believe it means amen. He said, "Amen, Lord." And it says he reckoned it to him as righteousness. God says, "You are now righteous," because it's the believing in your word, my word, that's causing the word of righteousness to perform its work in us. It's when we listen to the lies of the enemy and we're afraid that the devil's working in us. And when we're afraid of losing our life, when we're afraid this is going to happen, we get anxious. When we're wanting and desiring and we're trying to build something like they did in Babylon, we're so afraid and we're trying to do it in our flesh. There's no righteousness there and there's nothing that's going to come of it. It's going to be brought low. And when God brings us into humble circumstances because we haven't trusted him and we've been relying on our own reason and our own desires, God can't bless it. But when he just tells you and speaks to you, and it's a promise from his word, it's truth, and you know it's not your will, it's the Lord's will. And if it's a desire that it's according to his will, we know that we can ask and we can receive that. We know that he promises us food and shelter and clothing and all these things and provisions. We know that. And if we seek his kingdom, we know he's going to provide. And God said, "Here, I'm going to give you also a son." To Abraham, he spoke that promise. And that's something he wanted. And God said, "I want to give that to you, but you have to trust in me." So he believed it, and God says, "I'm going to work righteousness. You're now, it's as though you have it, because you believed it. It's as though you have it." That's the power of faith. The message of the cross is power to those who believe. It's to those who believe, see the power of that cross. You know what God did after that? He reminded him about what he did. See, this is how God encourages us. He reminds us of the former battles that he's given us victory. And he said to Abraham at this point, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it." Remember how when you were way back in the land in your comfort zone, I took you out. You listened to my voice. And now here you are. I'm the same God who spoke to you. And look at this step of faith. Look at you. You never thought you'd be here. And now I'm telling you, I'm going to give you a son to possess, and your seed is going to possess this land. And he was thinking, "Lord, how may I know I'm going to possess this?" And God made a covenant with him there to give him a promise. He made a covenant. I won't read all of it, but he revealed himself to him. And then we see that over time there was doubt that was sown in when his wife said, "Look, it's been so and so long. I think it had been 10 years now." Chapter 16, verse 3. 10 years, he hadn't seen it. Another test of faith. God speaks all these promises, but he's not seeing it with his eyes. And God is testing to see. You see how the testing of your faith produces patience? After 10 years, you would think, maybe I didn't hear it straight. I know I would. I'd be thinking that. If I heard from God saying, "This, you're going to have a son," and I was so that age, I would say, "I don't think I heard that after 10 years. And so you can see how easily he doubted when his wife said, "Look, this is not happening. Take Hagar. And maybe this is God's plan." Okay, then he thought, "Well, God maybe said it, maybe this is." And he started to reason it again in his mind. What if it doesn't happen? I've told, you know, my wife, maybe other people knew. And he seemed like this has got to happen. So he did that. And we know that the result of that. Now it was when he was 99 years old. Time had passed by. He was now 86. And God was silent with him for, I think, 13 years. Wasn't it? It's quiet. God, he didn't hear from God. That's kind of scary, right? When you hear God speaking to you and you take steps of faith and you start walking out and then... But then God sees, look, you're not trusting me. And you begin to start reasoning and controlling and trying to figure out how you're going to get all your life together and plan it all out. And God's quiet. And he's saying, no, that's not my plan. Anything apart from me is Babylon, right? Babylon is the work of man's hand. If you don't listen to me, it's from your own hand. And God was silent. And then finally, 99 years old, it says, the Lord had appeared to Abram and said to him, he said, I am God Almighty. Do you know who I am? I'm the great God, God Almighty. I control the universe. I, the one who spoke to you. And he said this, walk before me. Listen to me. He was listening to other voices. And he was listening to his own reason. And he wasn't walking the blameless way. A clear conscience, you know. Something maybe about, some reason God decided to speak to him here. And he said, walk before me and be blameless. Listen to me. That's the only way we can be blameless is to live by faith. And to walk by faith. And he said, and I will establish the promises that I made to you. I'm going to make them happen. I'll establish them. I'll make them happen. My covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abraham, you know what happened? Or I should say Abram at this point, he fell on his face. He realized he had fallen short, and he fell on his face. It's a place of humbling yourself and repenting. He fell on his face, saying, God, you know, and God spoke with him, saying, my covenant is with you. You shall be a father in a multitude of nations. And he said, I'm going to change your name now. And he gave him the name Abraham, which means a father of the multitude. He was just father, exalted father before. Now he had a name change. God put his name in him and saying, I'm going to put my seed in you. I'm going to cause it to happen. He fell on his face again before God. His faith, you see, he's growing in faith here, learning to trust God. And he said, I'm going to make you a father of a multitude, just like I promised. And kings and nations are going to come forth from you. And I'll give you the land. And he reaffirmed all those things that he had said to him and made a covenant with him in his flesh. A circumcision at that point, which is a symbol of the obedience of the faith, which happened after he was justified. That's what that symbolizes. So finally we see that he received a son. God was faithful. He now had gotten his Isaac. But his faith had to be tested even more because, you know, in our wants and in our desires, we have to allow God to always be shepherding us and be coming to him open-handed and just ready and yielded to him. The psalm that comes to mind, Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, this is the determination of whether we really are following his voice. Is that if we have the wants and the desires, but they're not yielded to the shepherd, then we'll be clinging and hanging on and seeking him and the fears and the unbelief and all those things we'll be testing, buffeting against us. But if we can come, Abraham had these desires and he followed him and he had to learn to be like a sheep listening to the shepherd because in his want for a son and his want to see God's promises, he had to yield himself. So God had to take it in his Isaac, and he had to test him with that also. And we know that the Lord's desire is to lead us into green pastures and beside quiet waters to give us peace and rest. In all our seeking of him, he wants to give us that place of rest where he provides, and he's glorified. We know that there's a valley of the shadow of death sometimes that he takes us through where he wants to see if we fear no evil. Now, Abraham had been through that a few times where you see he was lying to try and save his life. With his wife, he was kind of passing through this fear of death and he was not overcoming. And now God was asking him to sacrifice his only son, to kill his son. The very thing that he was asking God for, now God was saying, you got to let it go. What a test of faith that was. Now, Abraham had been now coming to this place where God was going to test to see whether he really believed. And when he came to that point, it was in Genesis chapter 22. It says clearly in verse 1, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. There it is again. Why God's so interested in testing us. He wants to see the genuineness of our faith. He really does. So we shouldn't consider it a strange thing when we're being tested. Isn't that right? When we're being tested and tried and all the, and when the fear and the anxiety and all those things, they come, it comes to the surface, we know that he's putting fire on things. Just test our faith to see if we really believe in him. And he told him, he said, and I want you to take your only son and take him to the mountain. And I want you to sacrifice him. Well, he began to make his way. He knew that he'd heard God's voice before, and now he heard his voice again. The same God who promised him a son was now telling him to lay it on the altar. He came to that place. He built this altar. Abraham had built altars before when he was calling on the name of the Lord. Now he's building an altar to basically sacrifice the very thing that God had all promised him that he was asking God for at those very altars. Now he was binding his own son on that altar. And so he bound his son in verse 9, chapter 22. He laid him on the altar on top of the wood. He stretched out his hand and he was about to crucify this thing. This is the place where Abraham came to. This is like, you know, the cross. It's the manifestation of the cross being applied in his life. You know, when the disciples came to that place where they had to be crucified with Jesus to lay it all down. The fear of death, the fear of killing his own, losing his own son. And as he did this, he heard an angel from heaven speaking, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here I am." He said, "Don't stretch out your hand." He said, "And do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God." You know, genuine faith will produce that love for Jesus, that fear of God, that we won't, whatever he leads us, wherever he takes us, whatever he desires, however he desires to bless us, we fear him more than losing what he's given us or what he desires to provide for us. And God knew from that point that he really feared him, that he really loved him. That was the result of his faith in God. I think that's when God, he knew, this is my friend, Abraham is my friend, he loves me. He would give his own son. The very thing that God was going to do, would give his own son. That's love. There's no greater way to manifest love towards God. He laid his own son down. And you know what God said after that? Verse 15, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham and a second time from heaven said, "By myself I have sworn." He swore an oath to Abraham. He said, "Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son, I will greatly bless you." When you are willing to yield self and its wants, when you say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," whenever the want comes, and you lay that down, because you hear God speak to you, lay that down. Don't possess. You know, material things. I found myself searching for something on the internet. I need these things, and I realized I wasn't even asking God for help. And then I realized, Lord, I got to ask you. I got to believe. I don't have to be afraid. What if I can't get the right thing or this? I need that. You know, we're always doing things. We're going shopping. We need this. We've got to do all these things. All these little wants, but then there's bigger wants, you know. But we need to have faith that God is in control in all things. He knows all our needs. And so if I can't trust him in little things and I'm trying to go about and I need this and I need that, and I don't learn to just, he's my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, I remember times of praying, Lord, certain things I don't like to do, things that I need, Lord, I just desire that you help me. And I tell you, the Lord has answered that prayer. He's so faithful. He's provided faithfully in that area that I asked him, faithfully, beyond what I have asked or imagined. And that builds my faith. That really builds my faith. This is the heart of God. He could say, because you are willing to allow me to be your shepherd, because you say, whatever I want, I'm going to lay it on the altar. If it's not from your love, I'm willing, Lord. Then God will say this. You don't have to fear. If you know this promise, it will just take away every fear in your heart. This is God's response. I will greatly bless you because you've done this thing. That's God's heart. When you are willing to come to him like that, he wants to bless us. He wants what's best for us. He will do beyond what we can ask or imagine. He said, I'm going to greatly multiply your seed because of this. And he really did see the resurrection there, you know. In faith, he saw this resurrection of his son. And God blessed him and he said, your seed is going to possess the gate of their enemies. That very seed that I promised you that you were willing to lay down, I'm going to cause it to possess the gate of your enemies. You're going to get victory over the gates of hell. That's our enemy, right? get victory over the gates of hell. And your seed, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. That was the promise that he gave. So Psalm 23, let's just look at that. We kind of quoted this bit. I had to think of this verse again today because it's easy to, you know it and remember it, but to live by it. When those little tests come, you know, your faith, God wants your faith to grow. He wants my faith to grow. And sometimes it feels like we shrink back. That's not a good place because it says, what does the Lord say? Those who shrink back, his soul takes no pleasure in those who shrink back to destruction. But he wants us to have the preserving of the soul, right? The righteous man shall live by faith. It's living by faith and trusting God. And if we believe that the Lord is our shepherd, then we won't have the wants. And they won't be so close, so hard to let go. And it says here, he makes us lie down. He gives us rest. That's what it means. He makes us to, takes away the anxiousness. He leads me. Right? He leads me beside a quiet water. The rushing of the waters, it says the wicked are like the tossing of the sea. You know, you read that verse? The wicked are like the tossing of the sea. There's no rest. Because the unbelief is evil. And it's like having a sea inside your heart, just tossing and turning and not feeling like, God, what is your plan? What is your will? And totally, and confusion. Well, when that confusion comes and that anxiety, it's go to James 3 and read that again. When there's selfish ambition in your heart, it leads to confusion. It's not the wisdom of God. God won't allow it. Will allow you to bring rest there. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. That was Abraham's testimony also. This was David's testimony. Men of God, we trusted him. For his name's sake, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's no promise that says that we won't go through the darkness or through the times of testing. But here is a promise that we can fear no evil when he tests our faith. We don't have to be afraid because he is with us. He is, even though sometimes he's silent, sometimes it doesn't speak, but sometimes God does that for a reason. You know, in the parables of the New Testament, when he came to his certain servants, the king or the stewards, and they gave him certain talents, and then he left. It says he didn't come back for a long time. That's what it's like sometimes. This is how God tests. When you read that in the parables, it says they left and he delayed. When the virgins were there, it says the bridegroom delayed. You know, he didn't come for a long time. Where is the bridegroom? Where is my master? When is he coming? The third watch? The fourth? I don't know. Why is it like that? God is, he just goes back. He waits to see, do they really love me? Will they be faithful? Faithfulness is the fruit of the Spirit. It involves faith. So if you have faith, if you want faithfulness, you need a persevering faith to remain faithful. You know, some of us couldn't hold jobs for very long, and then God gave us a seed of faith. It was his will that we learn to be faithful in our workplace. And God's caused us to be faithful in our workplace and held jobs for longer than we've ever been able to hold jobs without the Holy Spirit. Being faithful. Learning to trust in him. This is what the Lord's will is, that we fear no evil, but we trust him. And you know what? When we go astray and we slip, like even Abraham did, it says his rod and his staff will comfort us. God would speak to him. Abraham, walk before me and be blameless. That's a bit of a rod. But he also promised them, look, I'm going to be a reward to you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It doesn't matter. If everything is against you, or if you're at work and your co-workers or wherever you are, people that are against you, you can have a table before him in the presence of your enemy. You can have a place, a fellowship of rest. You know, Jesus said, in me there is peace, in the world is tribulation, but you can have it if you're in faith. You have anointed my head with oil. The Holy Spirit, to have the mind of the Spirit. I think, where is the oil? It goes on the head. I think that's like having the mind of the Spirit. I think in the Old Covenant it was a symbol. To have the renewed mind, the mind of the Spirit. Do not be conformed, it says, to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. When Abraham would look with his eyes and he would see Canaanites, or he would see his body, this is how we are conformed to the world. This is where sin comes. But when he had his mind look up, and God says, just look up. And he saw the star and he said, this is what I'll do. This is to have the mind of the Spirit, to have our heads anointed with the oil. It's like to live by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. My cup overflows. This is a place of blessing there. And he says this. This is like a confession of faith. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. If you really believe that, then what fear, what enemy can break through your gates? Who's gonna condemn you, right? Paul says, who's there to harm you if Christ is for you? He said, his goodness, his loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is security in Christ there. And we abide in him. There's total rest and total peace. So I challenge you today that let the Lord be your shepherd and let him cause you to grow in faith. Recognize when he shakes and he tests and you see those things come to the surface. The fear, it's fear that's the enemy of faith. And when you see fear come, then you know. Call on the name of the Lord like Abraham did. He built that altar. He began to call on the Lord. If you come back to that same place where you once were and you did a big loop, a big circle, like Abraham did, he failed a sort of seemingly a test and came back. Say, Lord, I can see there's a want here, and you've showed it to me now. I can repent, fall on my face. I lay it before you, and I'm going to trust in you. Amen.